They preach. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a kid, and when many of you were kids, there was a show out, and it was called Star Trek. And in the beginning, it had this logo, and it would say, Space, the Final Frontier. And I actually lived most of my upbringing, like, really believing that outer space, they were referring to planetary space, the cosmos, the moon, the stars, the planets, and beyond. And so for the bulk of my life, whenever I thought of that kind of space being the final frontier, I thought it was, well, one day we'll get maybe to the moon, and maybe someday we'll be able to get to other places. But it wasn't until like the early 80s, it was about 44 years ago, I believe, that I first encountered unity. And I encountered it through a trip that my mother took. We were very traditionally raised, and my mother was from a fundamental church, and we were raised in the fundamental doctrine, except that everybody said, Carly's different, and people prayed for me a lot because they thought that I was probably hellbound on a fast train because I just didn't believe the fundamental thing like that much, and I always felt like I was the Lone Ranger until my mother took a trip to Cincinnati with a friend, and she turned her on to Unity of Cincinnati. And my mother ended up coming home with two extra pieces of luggage. She had bought two pieces of extra luggage just so that she could put all the books from the Unity bookstore in there to bring them back to Carly. My mom came in from the airport into the door at the top of her lungs going, hey, everybody, Carly ain't crazy. Carly ain't crazy. He's just different. But there's a whole lot of people who are different in the same way that he is. I came running out of my bedroom at the glad announcement that my mother no longer thought I was crazy and that maybe she was going to introduce the rest of the family into the notion that I'm not crazy. But the main thing that I heard her say was, there are a whole lot of people out there who think and believe like he does. She started saying, he didn't make this stuff up. It's something that was in him, but he's not the Lone Ranger. And I'm running up, and my mom says, pop open them suitcases and spill them out on the floor. And I opened up her first suitcase, and I spilled it on the floor, and all these books came out. Get the next one. And I got the next suitcase and spilled it out. And I immediately sat in the middle of these books. And the first one I picked up was a book that still is so near and dear to my heart. It was written by Eric Butterworth, and it was one of his basic texts, which is called Discover the Power Within You. Just as we sat there, and I sat there in that living room, I started flipping through Discover the Power Within You, and everywhere my eyes landed, I felt a rush of electricity come through my body into my heart and expand and shoot out the top of my crown chakra. I could not believe it. I felt like I had been a stranger on this planet. Like everybody around me, I'd never really felt a spiritual affiliation. And as the son of a preacher and the grandson of preachers and the nephew of preachers and someone deeply enmeshed in the church system, it felt really weird and isolated for me to have all of my upbringing come up looking around and going, I'm different. And it was scary. There were some personal things about me outside of church as a little boy who tried his best and gave his all to be able to play baseball and basketball and football like my brother, who was a star and only 1 year older than me. But the only real things that I was actually automatically and naturally good at was jumping rope and playing jacks. And so I looked around my neighborhood and I went, I'm different and it's scary. So I felt like as a child I was looking for my tribe, believing that I might never find it. But Lord, that book, Discover the Power Within You, it announced to me that I had a tribe of people. I remember at some point looking on the back cover of the book to see if the author was still alive. I was 20 years old at this time. I remember looking and seeing Eric Butterworth had a church in New York called Unity Center of New York.
and I said for my 21st birthday, I am moving to New York City. One of the reasons is I'll try and see what I can do with singing and acting and dancing. But the main reason I'm moving there is because I believe my tribe is there and I've waited all my life to encounter them. So before I even finished anything else, I just looked up at my mom and dad and said, I'm giving myself a birthday present. When I turn 21, I am moving to New York. And my dad said, who is financing this? And I said, I don't know, but the money will come from somewhere. I don't know where from, but the universe is bound to support me in finding my clan. When I began reading it, after grabbing some of the books and going into my bedroom, after all the hubbub was out and I could still hear mom and dad and my sisters and my brother upstairs contemplating the possibility that I was not going to go to hell because I didn't believe in going to hell. That was why I was going to hell, because I didn't believe I was going to hell. Shame on a man that doesn't know he's hellbound when he is. And I just decided to take that book into my bedroom and begin to absorb. So, of course, I opened it at the beginning when I got to my bedroom. And there in the prologue or the preface, I can't remember which, there was Eric saying that the God of all gods wanted to put everyone's limitless power someplace that would be difficult for them to find it. The God of all gods felt like part of the joy of finding your treasure is the search for it. So we don't want to put it out on the front table. We want to put it somewhere where a person's own determination and dedication will be a requirement for them finding what Jesus called the kingdom of God, which is the realm of all possibility. It is the realm of all things are possible, limitless potential. It is like the genie in the lamp. The whole universe, if you access the place of power, the entire universe is saying to each and every one of us, your wish is my command. The universe is saying to us, your word is law here. The universe is saying to us, as you say it is, so be it. It reminded me of a scripture that says, as a man, as a woman, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. I remember when I first encountered that, I said to my dad, did they make an error here, a grammatical error? Because it said thinks in his heart. You think with your mind. You don't think with your heart. And Dad said, oh, you got that wrong, Carly. All deep thought is a matter of the heart. Any core beliefs. If you have beliefs and thoughts that are whirling around in your mind but have not taken residence in your heart, then you're like a seed that's laying on your kitchen counter that has not been planted in fertile soil. It is the heart thoughts, what I later came to call the core beliefs. The conscious mind can plant the seed, but it is the core beliefs, the beliefs that we really and truly believe to be true that define who and what we are. It's called an emotionally charged feeling. Eric Butterworth said that the great God called upon the lesser gods in a council to figure out where will we put the all power that is accessible to each and every child of God in the form of human beings. Where shall we put it so they will have to search for it in order to find it? And on the search, they will grow in their dedication. They will grow in their determination. They will grow in their passion to obtain the pearl of great price, which is a greater pearl than anything the world can offer us. So one of the lesser gods said, how about if we bury it in the ground? If we bury it in the ground, people will be walking on the earth, but no one will think to look underground. Let's hide the individual's fullness of power in the ground. And the great God said, no, because eventually men will dig up all this earth. They will be mining for diamonds and gold and other precious minerals, and certainly they will encounter the treasure called the power that is within them. So another lesser god says, how about if we hide it in the depths of the ocean? Surely they won't find it there. It will take much. And the great God said, no, man will at some point develop underwater machines that will allow them to go into the depths of the ocean. And when they do that, they will find this great power called the power within them, the unlimited power of all potential within them, the domain of all things are possible within them. We can't hide it under the sea. So then one of the guys spoke up in Star Trek fashion. He said, let's put it in outer space. Let's put it like in the cosmos, among the planets. Surely they can never find it there. But the great God said, one day they will build machines that will allow them to go into outer space. They will one day actually make it to the moon. All of the planets will eventually be available to them. So if we hide it there, certainly they will get it before their time, I might add. And so in their contemplation, the great God said, I will give you the answer. Where will we hide the domain of all power? Where will we hide the lamp that holds the genie that announces to the individual, your wish is my command. Your word is law. Ask and you shall receive. As you think in your heart, so be it unto you. The great God said, there is a place for us to put it that will certainly be the last place most people will ever look. We will place all power within them. I remember reading that, and I remember letting go of any thoughts I had of wouldn't it be great to one day go to outer space, because in one brief preface or prelude of his book, Eric woke up little Carlos with the announcement, God hid your power within you. Not in your mother, not in your father, not in the powers that be, not in your Sunday school teacher or your preacher, not in the rich people across town that you so long to be like, not in any outside agent or agency. God has placed the fullness of all power within you, Carlos Wayne, and within each and every one of your sisters and your brothers. I think in the first few moments of hearing that it was in me, I didn't think about you guys. I thought that Eric was talking just to me, telling me all of the power is in me. I think my ego mind immediately began to plan, if all of the power is within me, how am I going to lord some of my power over my parents? How am I going to lord some over my siblings? How am I going to lord some over other people out there? And then Eric, as I continued to read, informed me that the power that has been given to you has been given to everyone. You are a child of God among the children of God. Your station is not special in regards to or in relation to anyone you will ever encounter. Everyone you encounter, now and for the rest of time, I want you to seek to remember that the fullness of all power in their life is within them. You cannot be their power, nor can they be yours. But you can do everything to practice the presence of your own power and then to offer simple words like Eric offered to you on the written page. Wherever you go, whenever the word is welcome, would you just lean into someone, Carlos Wayne, and whisper in their ear, discover the power within you. You see, inner space is the final frontier. Why is it the final frontier? Because it's the place we won't look for our power until the final thing, until the final moment. We will keep thinking it has something to do with how much money we are making in the world, how much clout we have in the world, what our IQ is, what our EQ is, what our rate of pay is, what our resume looks like. So you need to lean into your own ear, Carlos Wayne, and remind yourself to discover the power within you. I told you that it was 44 years ago that I encountered this book. And let me tell you that even today, 44 years later, I am still required by my own life to practice the presence of understanding that the domain of all possibility and all power is within me. I still take treks outside of the garden to pretend that someone else has what I need or something else has I need. I have still in many times wept bitterly over feeling I had lost something I needed in order to experience the experience of heaven on earth. Sometimes it was a person, sometimes a really cute person, somebody that smelled good and felt good and tasted good. And when the relationship ended, I fell into the erroneous thought system that my power was taken away from me. And the Holy Spirit leaned in and whispered, "Discover the power within you." The power was not in them or in the relationship. It is in you. And so I am required to practice on the regular. It's tending the garden of my mind the same way I deal with my flower and vegetable beds in my yard. I get so excited when spring gets ready to come because my yard right now is filled with all of these things that look completely dead. Dead bushes, dead trees, dead exotic grasses, dead little nubs coming out. And why do you have that big box there filled with all this dead stuff? It's because in the years I've been alive, I understand one thing. Those things that look dead are not annuals. They are perennials. And every time they go through an experience that looks like death, they are not dead. They are simply recouping and regenerating greater strength. And every year I've noticed, not only do they come back stronger. They come back bigger. They even spread. I can plant 3 of one thing 1 year, and next year it's 7. And the next year it's 15. And the next year I'm having to pull some out and give them away. You are not an annual. You are a perennial. And life has proved that to you. You've been dead before. And you have always risen from the dead. I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about a death of the spirit, a death of your joy, a death of your hope, a death of your positive regard for yourself and others. And you have always risen from the dead. It's quite possible that there is someone sitting in our sanctuary with us, brothers and sisters, even here right now, who has forgotten they are a perennial, who has forgotten to discover the power within them, who might be thinking that it's all over, all hope is gone. I want you to remember that even the appearance of death can never define you. The power is in you. It is a resurrecting perennial force, and you are being raised to greater life, regardless of what it looks like. Eric reminded me that it is true in my life that sneaky little God, that sneaky little rascal called God, put my power in the last place I would have ever thought to look for it. And in a place that I still forget is the only place it resides. When Timothy and I were in India many years ago, we met a guy named King from Uganda, and he introduced us to a word. He just came up and met us, and I think he was trying to get us involved in some illegal activities, importing something into the country. I think after five or six conversations, I said, Tim, we need to keep a distance between us and him because what he's saying is too good to be true. But he introduced us to a word, and the word was uambe. And he would just came up and he would go, uambe, uambe. And it's like, finally he told us, like, what does uambe mean? And it was kind of like, you don't need to know, uambe. And then one day he said, uambe means it's in there. And I said, what's in there? And he said, everything. Everything. It was Eric Butterworth in disguise in India sneaking up on me. I was very ill. I had a combination of malaria and other stuff they couldn't figure out. I thought I was about to die in India, and we had run out of money because we had just decided that we were just going to feed the poor, and we were going to buy clothes for all of the kids that were in rags, and we were going to get beautiful women who were in raggedy saris, brand new saris. Hey, even though stuff is cheaper in India, your money does run out. So by the time King told me the meaning of uambe, I needed to hear it. I thought, I am never getting out of India. Why the heck did I come here anyway? I'm probably going to die here. I got no money. I'm hungry. What am I? I was on the pity pot. My mind was just a catastrophizing machine, picturing me slowly dying on the streets, away from Timothy. No one will find me. My parents and children will never hear from me again, all because I thought I had a holy mission to go to India to spread the light. But when he said, uambe, what does that mean? It's in there. What's in there? Everything. I began to go that I wasn't really sitting on the dusty, dirty, smelly streets of India. I was sitting in my own mind, in my own heart mind. I was thinking I was vulnerable. I was thinking I was the victim. And one thing Eric Butterworth's book, Discover the Power Within You, had to inform me was, you have never been a victim. You are not a victim now, and you can never be a victim. Regardless of the appearances of things seen, you are the guy who is holding the lamp, and the genie has been let out and is constantly saying to you, Carlos, son of God, domain of all power, your wish is my command. What do you wish for? I remember Jesus asking a man who had dragged himself to a pool for healing for 38 years, do you actually want to be whole? What a silly question. I think me in some of my moments, if Jesus had said, do you really want to be whole? I don't know what I would have done. I would have probably just cussed him out maybe. Because you know, when I'm feeling victimized, I'm wed to it. I don't want nobody happy around me. Trying to tell me there's nothing to worry about. I don't want that when I'm on my pity pot. Baby, when I'm milking my drama, don't you come up and tap me on the shoulder. I'll knock you out. Pop about to knock you out. So sometimes I don't want to hear the wake-up call. But more and more often, I really do want to hear the wake-up call. I want to be reminded that regardless of the difficulty of some of my earthly experiences, and the intensity of some of my challenges, and the drama, the dramatic pieces of some of my relationship stuff, and some of my financial stuff, that none of it can victimize the guy who holds the lamp that carries the genie. The entire universe is saying, Carlos, your wish is my command. Tell me what you want. Do you want to be the victim? Or do you want to be victorious? Do you want to pretend the trouble is with them out there, or him, or her, or it? Or do you want to return all of your power within you to you? Do you want to spend hours and hours and hours of manipulating people on the outside? Or do you want to spend those hours in deep meditation, going inside your own mind and your own heart to figure out what are your core beliefs? Because, buddy, if you decided at 4 years old that people are not to be trusted and that life sucks, then at 44 years old, you're wondering why people are deceptive and have lied to you and that life has not blessed you. You got to go deep. And remember I talked about the red and green marbles? You got to find that red marble that says people are not to be trusted and life sucks, and pull it out like me weeding the weeds out of my gardens and the invasive plants out of my vegetable patch. You got to remove those red marbles and then replace it with a green marble. I told you about a little girl. The first time she heard she was ugly was from her mother. Her mother thought it was a term of endearment when her child was born. She just would look at her and say, "Look at my little ugly big-nosed girl. Mama loves you." She thought it was endearing in her family system. Sometimes those things were pet things, and she really thought that she was giving her child a nice little nickname. But that little girl in fifth grade, when I went into their classroom and she told her teacher, "I want to get rid of that red marble and put a green marble in." And the teacher said, "Well, what green marble do you want to put in?" She said, "I want to put in a green marble that says I'm beautiful. I'm in the fifth grade and I always thought about me being ugly. I thought that was just who I is. And that's what I see in the mirror. But I want to put in a green marble that says I'm beautiful." And the teacher said, "First you have to take out the red marble. Take out the red marble, make a declaration. Then put in the green marble and make a declaration." That little fifth grade girl, I had tears coming out of my eyes sitting on the back row trying to be there just for my granddaughter. I didn't know I was there for me. I didn't know Eric Butterworth was come sneaking up on me again. But that little girl pulled that red marble out and said, "I ain't no ugly big nose girl. I ain't. Mama was wrong. I was wrong. Everybody been wrong." She put that red marble to the side, and then with a great big old smile, she picked up her green marble and went, "I'm beautiful in my own way. My nose is big, and I'm beautiful. I'm as beautiful as anybody everywhere, anytime that ever lived." And we felt that a change had happened for her as she put her green marble in. She had discovered the power within her, the power to undo erroneous thinking, and the power to replace it with thoughts of beauty and wonder and joy. You see, she was the person holding the lamp, and the genie was bowing before her in that fifth grade classroom, saying, "Your wish is my command." I have been, as I told my brother, Reverend Lewis, in the back, my life circumstances for the last month or so have been requiring me to keep going inside to find out if in the moment I am thinking of myself as being victimized by what looks like cray-cray stuff from cray-cray people in my cray-cray environment, or whether I'm not the victim. Whether what they are doing really has nothing to do with me. It's simply a display of their own place in consciousness at this time. And I told my brother, Reverend Lewis, that many, many times when I pause for the cause, take a sila, which is a break for station identification, to remember that my life is not being brought to me by me. My life is being sponsored by the Almighty One I have learned to call God. So I take these breaks for station identification and I go in. And many times I find myself extending the prayer for protection to those who seem to be hurting me, who seem to be victimizing me. Many times I'm given the prayer for protection, and sometime when I check in, I'm doing quite the opposite. I'm pretending I'm the victim, And whenever I pretend or think I'm the victim, I'm ready to duke it out. I'm ready to hurt somebody. I made up my mind when I was first molested. Anybody tries to put their hands on me, I'm going to beat them off of me. So having made that decision at 7 years old, I find that it still has a residence in my core system. So thank God I have to take that red marble, pluck it out yet again, and replace it with a green marble, which is the prayer for protection. I end up saying many times, she's me, or he's me. This person I've been so agitated with, and I've been blaming and I've been judging for what they did. I've been involved in a really good rock fight with this person. I just took on the memory of, oh my God, he's me. Stoning him is stoning me. So I realized that the fourth of the four agreements from the book, The Four Agreements, the first being, be impeccable with your word. Do not use your words to harm others or yourself, to talk crap about people, to engage in gossip, and particularly be aware and on purpose about your I am statements, because I am is the name of God. That is your first name. And your second name is whatever you follow I am with. So I am, followed by victim, the entire universe will support you gladly with feedback that shows and declares, yes, you are a child. How are you even making it through as victimized as you are? So you got to watch your I am statements. And even when you actually feel like you're a victim, you have to make an I am statement that the entire power and authority of God Almighty has its residence in me. I can never be victimized. You have to weed it like you're weeding your garden, this thing called the garden of your mind and your heart, and then make it fun. And don't beat yourself up when you check inside and find yourself with your sleeves rolled up, ready to duke it out with somebody. That's just your carnal nature. It's not bad. It was something you have so that you can survive. And using your I'm going to fight or flight, that whole reaction of I'm either going to run or I'm going to fight, it was put there for your survival as a basic animal type. But you don't want to live there. You want to represent a level of your being that is beyond the animal person that wants to fight and duke it out or run. You don't want to just survive. You want to thrive. And thriving in your life depends upon you tending to the garden of your mind and you discovering the power that is within you. Jesus said to the disciples and all those gathered around him, no one is going to be correct when they say, when will the kingdom arrive? Nor will they be correct when they say, I see it coming from the east. Or I see it coming from the west. The truth is, the entire kingdom, queendom, moredom, alldom of power is within you. You can access it or not, but you can't change that truth. Your wish is my command, speaks the universe in your ear. As you would have it, so be it, speaks the universe in your ear. I'm so grateful that I have you all, and I'm so grateful you have me. She's me. He's me. He's me. She's me. We are one self, united with our Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and we are limitless in power. And we are limitless in peace. So to everyone, let us offer quietness. To everyone, may we offer peace of mind. to everyone, let us offer gentleness. Because what goes out is multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, concentrated, and sent right back to us. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Peace!
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you for that reminder of what we are and whose we are, okay? So let's take those little tidbits that we were reminded of today into meditation. In your pamphlet, you'll find the words to the meditation song, which says, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. So will you know that with me as we begin?
Allow the chair to support you. Free your laps if you choose. And make that intimate connection from head to heart. Some say it is the longest short distance. But right here and right now, we give thanks for the journey. We give thanks for the blessings. We give thanks for all that has unfolded to lead us to this now moment. An opportunity to step away, come apart, and allow to incorporate into our being the gifts that we have received this morning. The reminders of the truth of who and what we are. Whose we are. The gift of life itself. So as we breathe into being totally present, and as the air supports all the cells of our being, nourishing them, We give thanks for that divine, intricate gift that composes our very being. The gift of our human bodies and the gift of knowing that we are more than the sum of these human parts. That the power and presence that loved us and breathed us into being lives and expresses as each of us individually, uniquely expresses. As we begin this season, this Lenten season, this season before Easter, we take the time to embrace our spiritual unfolding, our spiritual development. We take the time to be more mindful, to be more prayerful. We take time for introspection, to seek out the little nooks and crannies of our being. We use the gift of time to take inventory, to discern through wisdom what is mine to release, what is mine to declare that it has no power over my truth, that it has no power to keep me from walking my walk, that it has no power to keep me from being love and expression. Whatever it is for you, allow yourself a moment to embrace it. Whatever that thought, whatever that belief that has not served you to this point, to acknowledge it and know the truth about it. Yes, it's a thought. Yes, it's a belief. However, the truth of the power of my being is stronger than that. We call on our power of release, elimination, to take a moment into the silence and let it go. We take a breath and breathe and know that each of us has everything required for restoration, for renewal, for rejuvenation, for rebirth, for reclaiming oneness that always is. What a blessing, what a gift that we can always return home to self, to be in our hearts, to live with wisdom, love, kindness, generosity, imagination, strength, and power from our hearts. As we go into the silence, you remember our truth, that we are wonderfully, marvelously, amazingly made. And for this, we are so, so thankful in the silence.
is all within you. It is deep inside.